Thank you for a nice introduction and welcome everyone after a nice breakfast. Really, it is my pleasure to be here today to speak something about plant diversity. So I really appreciate Ben and other three speakers before. They nicely really summarize about plant diversity and resilience. I'll talk a little bit about the concepts and go from there with some practical examples, dynamics of the plant diversity, and finally give some example of my regions, and we'll give you a summary after that. So some of the concepts, probably still in my case even, I don't know whether I understand clearly what is plant diversity, what is ecology, and how we define. So I was trying to read some of the recent paper even in Nature. It's really, they even say it is arguably we can say this is resilience, but still there is no defined. But I think Dr. Butler was giving some example very good with bad and good things. That's very nice, I like that. So what is ecological diversity if we go from there? But what is ecology? What is ecological diversity? This actually refers to the functions, number one. So some of the previous speakers already mentioned about function, spatial arrangement, and then number of species, in other words, the richness of the species. So if I try to explain this one by one, for example, what are the functions? If we have a community and we have a group like legumes in the system, so legume picks nitrogen, so then we can define this is the function of this community legume. What other function for grass, for example? A grass gives like a sequester carbon in the soil, so that could be a function of grass roots. They are enriching the soil carbon or soil carbon dioxide, whatever we call. And then how about spatial arrangement? So if you look at the spatial arrangement, in here in the right hand side, the picture are left on you. So this could be a community, and if we look at this, the arrangement of the species, it could be vertical or it could be horizontal. But another example, normal ecologists give, most of the paper they are talking about the forest, and this is mainly vertical arrangement of the plants. There is a reason why we call vertical and horizontal, especially for the light, right? So how light can go to each of the component of the plants. So there is great impact of this arrangement of the plant as well. So my main focus would be the plant diversity. That means the number of species in the community. In other words, we can call it the richness of the species. So again, this picture here illustrates that if you have a community, how many species over there? So I'll give some specific example of that. In here, we have three species, so you can say, okay, the species richness could be three here, right? So now, also, Ben mentioned in the first that our system is really resilient. We are not seeing anything that is declining. But recent reports suggest, no, there is a decline in the species resilient plant diversity. So this is just an example like species resilience. This is published in Nature actually, very recent paper. This is the group in UK and also all over the world actually, from some US scientists also involved there. So what they say, also Australia, what they say that species richness is reduced where specifically if very worst scenario, in that scenario it could be up to 77%. And as a result, the abundance of species present is reduced by about 40%. That's really a big number. And that's published in a very nice journal recently. So what is the reason why we are seeing this declining trend? What are the reasons behind it, specifically if we talk about the biodiversity? So there are many reasons influence that. We already heard some of the factors, all of the previous speakers mentioned about that. But the number one reason is anthropogenic, right? The human activities. For example, increased amount of nitrogen. This could be related to naturally occurred, or this could be related to human activities. That can significantly reduce the number of species because of the adverse effect. Also, if we look at the example, like it's a declining trend, also another example could be reduction of species richness. Okay, in even a recent example says that in USA, about 30% richness fall in many cases, many scenarios, including even great plants. Also, another activity could be natural factors such as climate change or climate variability. So now, how can we define, I think a previous speaker already mentioned that resiliency. So how can we really define that, and what are the factors related to that? So ecosystem resilience, really the capacity to retain the same function. I already mentioned some of the functions. What are the functions? The structure, feedback, and identity of the following disturbance. So this is a great example. I really like, when I was searching all the literature, I found that this works actually Australia, UK, also some scientists from USA involved with this. So this is an ecology paper. So if you look at that left-hand side actually, this area, this is the different scenario, okay? Left-hand side is desirable. So if you go move to the right-hand side, that means, that means the disturbance occurring and is not really recoverable. For example, in the left-hand side, white place here, in this system, it's naturally occurring, some of the disturbance happening here, and as you can see here with the dark ball here, naturally it's occurring. So this could be recovered naturally without any intervention. But when we actually cover the threshold of the first stage, then we are in the second stage, and in that system, the component of the community will be changed. Also, the function will be changed. This will be really hard to get back. It can go naturally, but some kind of human intervention or some kind of management is needed to come back to this state. But when really we are in this state, we cross all the threshold level, it would be really hard to go back. This system might need some kind of really extensive, extensive recovery, either renovation completely or go some kind of renovation to go back from the really right-hand side to the left-hand side. So the author really explained that we can go intervention if it's in the earlier stage, that they call helpful resilience. That means we can get back to the previous stage, but this would be unhelpful in the right-hand side, right-hand corner. We cannot go back to this resilience. As Ben mentioned, that we might expect this kind of scenario in the near future, we don't know. So now talk about the management, how we are really going to manage if we have really bad situation or if we see in the near future some kind of events. So number one factor is the species selection. So Twin Butter was talking about tall fish like dormant, summer dormant versus summer active. So what are the species we are going to select? So really, a lot of papers also, so if you go, you will like that there is a positive relationship with the species richness versus the production. So that's actually governed by the complementarity of the resource available and the utilization. Okay, and also we should recognize, even if it is a minor, there are two components. One could be major, another could be minor. Even we should consider that minor component as well. So, and in an example, for example, if legume is in the system and it's declining, and also on the other hand, if the diversity also declines with the increment of the higher grass, then what happens? Then in the system we are expecting that our nitrogen accumulation will be high. On the other hand, growth would be also high as well. So this is just an example. We have many, many examples when I look at this. I pick this one of these. This is also European work, including some American scientists involved in this work as well. So if you look at this in the bottom, so the species richness, with number of species, there is a very nice correlation, right, positive correlation with the number of species with the productivity. And when you look at also the group, functional group, that means whether it is cool season, warm season, or legume or grass, the same phenomenon, like in the right-hand side as well, clearly indicating that plant diversity has really, or species richness really has a significant positive impact in the productivity. Now, during that species selection, we have to be careful many aspects. One of the aspects would be, for example, their growth habit, their photosynthetic pathway. If we look at the C3 versus C4, C4 plants always tolerate dry condition and also poor nutrient soil, right? On the other hand, they also have very good water use efficiency and nitrogen use efficiency as well. But the question is, can we mix C3 versus C4 together to get the better benefit? One of the problem is that when C3 plant with the C4 plants, they put the shade, they are not that shade tolerant, or they are not the cold tolerant. As a result, this would be declined from the system. So this is a great example in our location. Normally our area, especially if you go to the west, and really dominant growth of C4 plant in the summer, whereas the dominant growth in the spring would be the cool season grasses. So this is the picture you can see in the bottom picture. This is very close to Cheyenne. I took the picture, look at that. That this is really good in the spring, not for the summer. But in the Bulugrama, in the top, they're active in the summer. Can we mix this together? And how can they survive? How can they coexist together? So that's the great question. And also another important aspect should be, if legume in the system, how much nitrogen they can fix and how long they can survive in the system, and what is the turnover rate of them. So this really all influence the selection of the species. So this is another example about the dynamics of the plant community structure and function. So if you look at that in the bottom, so this is a nitrifying enzyme activity. So when we increase the legume proportion in the system, that significantly and positively increase the productivity of nitrifying enzyme activity. That means it's increasing the nitrogen in the system, right, in the plant system. On the other hand, when we look at the denitrifying enzyme activity, it's actually increased until up to 25% legume increment in the system, and after that is actually flat. There is a significance of that, and I am going to discuss in a minute with that. And on the other hand, when we increase the grass in the system, the proportion of grass increase has a relative relationship with the denitrifying bacteria. That really has a positive impact of carbon, higher amount of carbon in the top part of the plants, at the expense of bacterial biomass in the system. So I'll give some example, specific example of this just in the later slide. So how about plant establishment and management? So we should consider not only the species selection and the condition of this, also we should consider the characteristics of the plants and what are the resources needed actually. And that required really temporal diversification. So Ben also talked about temporal stability. So how we can define the temporal diversification? So that could be a mean divided by the variation of individual components. I'll give an example in a minute of that as well. So what are the key considerations we should take into account when we really try to establish a system, and that could be persistence for a longer time? So number one should be their growth habit, as I mentioned some of these, whether it is slow or fast growing, and what is their structure, whether they are tall growing, prostrate growth having, bounce type, or rhizomatous. So this needs to be considered. Another most important factor, I'll be focusing more on that proportion of this, this is very, very important. Okay, there is a positive relationship between the ratio of legume, for example, with the productivity. I'll give specific example of that in a minute. So how, okay, we got the species, we tried to establish that one, how we are going to benefit or how we are going to monitor the persistence and their benefit in the longer term. We are not very clear about that, how we are, and I, when I start reading all those, really there is a conflicting statement about the stability, about the structure, about the community structure as well. So very most common one is to measure the growth, that means diameter or leaf area, whatever growth parameter we can measure, and that needs to be done continually for the longer time to really determine the actual productivity of the system. Another would be species richness. This is the question, always conflicting statement here, how we are going to define species richness and how we are going to measure that one. And that really, many papers when I look at that, they say there is a positive relationship with species richness with the temporal and compositional stability. So what is compositional stability, I'll explain in a minute. And then there is a negative relationship of species richness with the species evenness. So this is the point we have to focus many about species evenness. Say we have four components in a mixture, or two components in a mixture. So this is a great example, like this study, we established one of the locations in Wyoming. And look at this, this was initially established in 2013, and this has, for example, 50-50 grass and sand pine, one of the legumes. So by end of this day, this picture taken just recently, look at this, this does not look like it's 50-50. It looks like now dominating by the grass. So there is benefit, also there is this, the species richness is declining, also the evenness of the species, it was 50-50, now it's declining. Also, our really activities such as the management also really greatly affect the species evenness and also high over-yielding. So what is over-yielding? Over-yielding is when I look at this paper, they explain like this way. When you have a mix, and what are the components in your system? See, one of the highest component, highest yielding component versus the total yield of the system, what is the percentage? This is the difference. That's called over-yielding. I'll give specific example on that as well. So this is when I try to summarize many papers I read, and try to summarize what are the relationship of the species richness versus the mechanism, how it's happening. So if you look at that, that species richness has really positive relationship with over-yielding, species asynchrony, temporal stability, compositional stability, light, soil moisture, also herbivory activities, that means the selective grazing, or if you say, if we do some kind of disturbance. However, there is a negative influence of species richness with the evenness. That's I gave the example previous slide, right? Also, there is negative influence on inorganic nitrogen content as well. So similar to species evenness, has a positive relationship with herbivory activities or grazing activities and over-yielding. Species asynchrony. So what is species asynchrony? This is really the difference in response to the environmental fluctuation of individual component. I'll give this some example of this in later slide as well. So we talk, okay, we are monitoring. Is that very easy? It's not easy to monitor all those systems. It's very complicated, very conflicting statement, and it's still not even clear what are those factors we are talking about. They are related to the species persistence or plant diversity. Yes, there is challenge exist in perpetuating all the species richness. This is really, for example, I am giving that when grass are shed, and that might affect the legume in the system. So in the expense of legume, for example, many reports suggest that significant nitrogen transfer can occur only if the system has at least 30% legume in this system. If this is not the case, if they are not that efficient, then what happens? the legume, plant diversity would be declining. As a result, if we don't manage, or cattle has the preference of selective grazing, that will actually result the disappearance of the legume from the system. That means ultimately we will be reaching the richness, we will be reaching the evenness, and finally the system will not be tolerant, or the system will not be persistent for the longer term. So now talk about little bit about beneficial effect of plant diversity. We know already that there are many effects, beneficial effects of plant diversity on environment. For example, microbial populations. And in legume dominated system, normally bacterial population in general is higher compared to fungus, and opposite happens when the system is dominating by grass or fops. And also in grass dominating system, normally higher species evenness, you already know now what is evenness, and higher ratio of gram positive versus gram negative bacteria. So I'll give some of the experimental evidence of those. Also, plant diversity has effect really on nutrient cycling, especially soil health. For example, improved mineralization and nitrification. Report suggests that normally higher the diversity, the higher the mineralization and nitrification compared to monocropping system. And also, recent reports suggest that if you have even diversified or more dense grass system, especially because of the root, more mineral, carbon mineralization and nitrification may occur. So another effect is, this is when I was looking even also the yesterday or day before yesterday's talk, many students really did a great job also talking about the greenhouse gas emission, right? So yes, I saw also some evidence from the students' seminar that they also show that there is a significant effect of grass-legume mixture also as well. So, for example, if we have legume in the system, we are expecting that there should be much more greenhouse gas emission compared to on the grass. So that means if we can increase, the ratio is really important, if we can increase the grass in the system, then we might have better control of the greenhouse gas emission. So I'll give some specific example of that. So I'm now moving, because this is just the concept of different aspects. Still we have conflicting, and I am not very sure that I understand everything very clearly even. So now try to give some example, specific example in our locations. So overall, for long time trial, what we are doing in the West, specifically in Wyoming, we found that there is really superior yield in mixture compared to monocropping system. That's really an agreement with the topics, with the references I gave you today in the early. And also, when I look at other works in the region, also internationally, we found that this is really in agreement with the resiliency or productivity of the system. So this is just some example I try to summarize, different location work. So if we look at that, these are like meadow brown grass, and also orchard grass with alfalfa, and different ratio mix. And look at that, when we have the monocrop of this system, and this is the yield of monocropping system. When we mix, if you look at this, really the yield increment is happening. That means it's over-yielding compared to monocrop. And this is different location if I look at that. But when I compare that with the other, it looks like that 50-50 makes one of the locations giving really high yield compared to monocropping system. So when I look at the results with other locations, it looks like very similar results. If you look at that, that is really higher compared to monocropping system. So that's clearly, even internationally, in Thailand area, for example, in Turkey, look at this, the same thing happening. Like if we have really mixed in the system, that produce higher compared to monocropping system. Now this is another practical example. This is a long term, like Ben was mentioning in his conclusion, that might also I agree with that we really need some kind of long time evaluation. So this is one of the study location we try to establish to do at least for several years. This is now fourth year, we plan to do several years if we have funding for that. So you can see this plot established in 2013 with different component in that. And you can see, this is the picture very recently, you can see it's a very nice established weed-free system over there. So if you look at the dry material, so these are the treatment, so the 100% alfalfa, 100% sandfoin, 100% basswood tree foil, then 50-50 with this meadow brome grass and alfalfa, sandfoin and basswood tree foil, then 30-70. Then we have even three component plus four component of this. And the right hand side is 100% meadow brome grass with no nitrogen, 100% meadow brome with 56 kilogram per hectare nitrogen, and same 100% brome grass with 112 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. So if you look at this, the blue bar is 2014. This is the total of three harvest each of the year. So look at that, the blue bar, they are 2014, red are 2015. If you look at that, that the plot, the stand really well established, there is no decline, and yield is continuously increasing from 2014 to 2015. I was trying to add 2016 data last night, but I could not do that because still I could not finish the analysis. So, but look at that, my observation 2016 is very similar data to 2015. So this clearly indicating that mixture or the stand really established well. Now look at this monoculture versus mixture. It looks like the mixture has really continuously increasing the yield. Even the highest yield obtained from 25% alfalfa, 25% basswood trefoil and 50% and grass. And that's the highest. Even interestingly look at that, this is 112 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, and this is better than this one. And I didn't, I am not going to show, but I have an economic analysis of 2 years. It looks like this system is much better and more economical compared to other system. So this is a clear indication that plant diversity has effect, or species richness has really effect on that. How about species? This is a really conflicting terminology, but if I understand correctly that I already explained that what is the asynchrony, that is when you mix species together, how long they can stay together with the same ratio, and what is the temporal stability, what is the variability of that. So we tried to measure that 2016 data on the same study. So look at that on the left hand side, these are the different treatment, we just picked some of these. So this is 50-50 meadow brome alfalfa, then 70-30. Then also sandpine, including sandpine. This is a continuously declining of species asynchrony compared to 50-50 meadow brome and sandpine. What does this mean? In general, if the value is 1, that means this is a perfect asynchrony. As the value declining, look at that, it's continuously declining, that means sandpine is not really very good persistence with this meadow brome grass, because then asynchrony is continuously, significantly declining. On the other hand, when you have other species together, it does not look that bad compared to sandpine. Okay? And if you look at, if you remember that I saw one of the pictures at the beginning, that how sandpine was continuously declining, this is a clear indication when we measure that, even statistically it is significant. Now how about temporal stability? That means what is the variation within the species, within the community groups. So look at this, when you have really the highest stability we obtain from meadow brome grass, alfalfa 70-30, and also meadow brome grass and basswood trefoil 70-30, clearly indicating that their stability within the community is really very good. So how about stand persistence? The big question, what is the, how long they can persist on there? But this really requires long-term study. Within 3 years, we cannot conclude. But what I am showing now, this is Dhruva Dhakal, my PhD student, was here. He was working on that. He is sitting here somewhere here. So he actually did a lot of work here. And we have not published this year. The manuscript he prepared due to me is not submitted yet. But we are going to submit very soon. So this is just, I picked some of this data. Look at that. See, if we have different ratios of grass legume, so the top one is like alfalfa meadow brome orchard grass, 75-25, then 50-50, and then 25-75. So this is the component of legal in the system versus over time. This is only 3 years data we have. So look at this. Some are really significant, some not. And when you look at orchard grass, it's similar, like declining or some not declining. And then when we have like in the bottom, when you have three components, very similar pattern. But what we are looking for here, if it is insignificant, that's really give that these are persistence. Because the legume, no matter if you increase the legume is still there, they are not declining in the system. But this also really require to monitor for a long time. We cannot really completely conclude within these 3 years. This is the trend. So how about carbon mineralization? So same study, when we measured, it looks like the alfalfa is higher compared to other mix and the grass. Okay, grass always have lower carbon mineralization compared to other mixture. Same thing for another location, when we have two locations and very similar results, just confirming that really legumes plus with little component of grass could have better carbon mineralization compared to only grass in the system. How about nitrogen? This has really impact, and this related to the really greenhouse gas emission. How? Look at that. We try, we'll continue this study for longer time, and we'll monitor other as well. We are also measuring carbon dioxide and other nitrous oxide as well. But this is a preliminary indication we just complete last week, and I just presented here. Look at this. This meadowbrom grass with no nitrogen, meadowbrom grass with 56 kilogram nitrogen and 112 kilogram nitrogen, only alfalfa, then 50-50 and 70-30. So it's continuously, as you added nitrogen to the system, that means potentially mineralizable nitrogen is increasing. Let's look at that alfalfa. It has the highest, significantly highest amount of mineralizable nitrogen. That's the reason why this has the highest potential of greenhouse gas emissions such as nitrous oxide. But when you increase the grass component in the system, it's significantly declining. That means it has the potential to capture that nitrous oxide, not to release too much compared to alfalfa. So also literature suggests that one of the ways would be to increase the legume component in the grass system so that we can really reduce the greenhouse gas emission as well. So how about microbial populations? So if you look at, we already know that if it is legume, they normally feel they have more bacterial population compared to grass. That's what we found here. This is actually experimentally proved that that's true. And this is the contribution mainly coming from the bacteria and very minor from the actinomyces compared to grass on the system. But if you look at this, the right-hand side, this is the control. We did not put anything over here. So this is really significant increment of microbial population when you are going to add grass. Even if you add more legume and grass together, there is a positive effect on that. How about grass, fungus? So this is also literature suggests that when you have grass, the fungal activity will be more compared to, that's proved here too, that this has legume component here and this is only grass. This clearly agreement with the other findings we find so far. But look at the control here. Again, it's significantly low fungal activity and also bacterial activity compared to mix. So it's clearly indicating, yes, plant diversity plays really an important role, not only the diversity, also the productivity. So if I summarize quickly, that really plant diversity remains a big contributor, and there is a higher number of species means it's positively correlated with productivity and also all other environmental benefits. Also, if we can balance the grass and legumes together, that might really help us reducing also some greenhouse gas emission. But again, I am in agreement with my previous speakers that that's warrant we need to do longer term research with wider time and also a lot of input we are not clear about. With this, I really acknowledge my students and also funding authority, and I'll be happy to take any question you might have. Thank you so much.